Hello, everybody. Don Powers here, running for Oregon's National Committeeman. It's about a quarter to nine. Meeting starts in about 15 minutes, and the vote should be in by, well, about noon. So it's going to be a pretty exciting day, a new day for Oregon. Time to get it on.
In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. In the time of censorship, non-compliance is key. From an undisclosed location in FEMA Region 10, it's your host, Joshua Michael.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Joshua Michael, non-compliant America, and boy, have we been on a wild ride this weekend. We're down here in North Bend, and there's a lot of exciting things. We've had Kyle Rittenhouse here. We've had Kay. We've done a lot of Twitter spaces, and the one and only Rob Taylor is joining me today, and we're going to discuss kind of the state of Oregon, what we see for the future, kind of things that we've observed over these past couple days. It's been really interesting, kind of watching the death of the establishment party and the people that have had their grips on the Republican Party for a very, very long time. It's kind of a resurgence and a great vibes yesterday, last night at the meet and greet. A lot of interesting stuff for a lot of you guys that couldn't be here. As you know, that there's a big vote for the National Committee Man tonight. Or it's actually happening right now as we're speaking. We're pre-recording this today. But a lot of interesting stuff is going on, a lot of good sentiment. We're seeing a lot of support for Don Powers, as you know, on the intro. We were talking to Don over the week, kind of leading up to this moment, and we feel pretty good about it. It's pretty good. But Rob, man, you've been off the radio for a little while. Introduce yourself to my audience. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, it's been a one hell of a trip. And anyone who thinks Republicans don't party, they should have been here last night.
Yeah, it was wild. We're up here in a suite, and yeah, it was packed. There was probably 60 people here.
It's the booze was just flowing nonstop. I couldn't believe how much these people were drinking. And I'm guilty as myself. You know, I don't always drink and don't get a chance. We're a country bumpkins out here in Coos County.
So. Yeah. No, it's beautiful. It's been a beautiful week. A lot of exciting things, though. You know, you were there at the meet and greet. You've kind of been here for a couple days. I know you got to hang out with Kyle Rittenhouse, which was it was awesome. It was a good time.
American hero.
100%.
Yeah.
And very humble kid. He's 21 now. It's amazing to hear his story and just kind of see where he's at and what he's doing with it. I feel like he's doing God's work. He's doing great work, you know, for the Republic, and really putting kind of boot to bottom.
Boot to bottom. You know, and we were talking about the show before that we went on here, and I hope the kid doesn't get exploited. So, you know, fame is a hard thing, and I think people will take advantage of that. And, you know, we were talking about it. I felt guilty just by asking him for signatures on a couple of hats, you know, and it's an honor to have him here. And I hope he has a great life, because there's a lot of people who hate on him.
Yeah.
A lot of people hate on him.
And well, we see that everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, anybody that has any type of success. And I wouldn't consider his situation as success. I mean, clearly right. He survived. You know, he got to use the Second Amendment and everything else. But just what he's doing with it, how he's taking that experience, applying it to the world, putting himself out there despite all this stuff. He has some great people around him. And that was a lot of fun. It was a good experience. There was a rumor going around that Carrie Lake was going to show up. And
yeah, can you believe that?
It's just... it's so funny. I wonder who started that rumor.
I don't know, Solomon. I don't know who started that. But, you know, that's the funny thing about politics. You don't have to actually produce anything. You just have to give the illusion, the perception. Perception is reality. It's a sales job. And I've been a commission salesman, and I know what it's like to try to sell a product. And sometimes the product sucks, and you got to push the sale. And, well, I think at this point in time, the establishment sucks. People are tired of it, and right. They're not going to buy it anymore.
Yep, and that's kind of what we saw and what we've been seeing. But more importantly, I feel like most people, most Republicans and just regular people, they're seeing through that smoke and mirrors BS
yes.
now.
And, yes.
And they're like, okay, that sounds great. And that's kind of part of this show. That's part of your show. It's part of the podcast format. I know we were talking the other day. on how cable TV and the traditional structures of, you know, different radio stuff is dead.
It's breaking down. It's breaking down. And we had that reporter here from the traditional news stations, KCBY and KEZI. And that's I think that's eventually going to go away. I think AM radio is, and FM radio is going to go away. And, you know, I hate to say you kids, you know, I'm the old man here, but you kids are, you don't even get your news from the same places as we got our news. You know, I grew up watching Walter Cronkite. You guys get your news off of podcasts and Twitter and Facebook, and it's just TikTok. A whole new world. TikTok. Yeah, if you can call that news. I've been on there, and it's right. Like,
But it's interesting. It's a prospectus of people just getting raw videos and watching raw. I mean, they don't need somebody to regurgitate what happened, what's going on, you know. And, you know, there's some good podcasts out there. I know PBD's really good at kind of dissecting down to the core. He's got a great team on there that do good research. I listen to him a lot. But also the other interesting thing that we were talking about are these younger generations. They're not even using their phones in the traditional sense phones.
Yeah, you were telling me this, and I'm like, what?
It's weird. You know, I feel like I'm still youthful, but apparently not.
Believe me, you're youthful, kid. Come on.
Yeah, but
how old are you?
37.
Oh, well, you're not that youthful. You look much younger than you are.
Well, thanks. Okay. You know, I don't know.
All right.
I don't have a lot of stress in my life.
Joking. That's good. Good.
That's a complete joke. But, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, even I'm disconnected from that. So the better question is how do we reach the youth, you know, and what are you doing? I know that you've started a podcast formally, officially. You were recording it last night. I missed it. But where can people go to find your show?
You didn't miss much. We were a little, couple of sheets in, you know what I mean? We had been drinking all day, and so the show didn't come out too well. And that's the nice thing about a podcast. I don't have to worry about being drunk, which, you know, I grew up I had friends who were in the radio industry back in the 70s and 80s, and lots of drugs, lots of sex, lots of rock and roll. Yeah. And so it's nothing that's unusual, but, you can catch me on Rumble. You can catch me on YouTube at Rob Taylor Report. And how do we reach the kids? Try being honest.
There you go. I think that's honest. Key.
Yeah.
That's what they want. They're able to see through a lot of the BS.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know, they've just been inducted into it.
And it's so, there's so much fakeness out there. There's so much pretense. And I'm not someone who's ever... I'm into the hardcore truth, and it's something that is sometimes shocking. It's stuff that people don't want to hear, and that's why I'm also one who's not very well liked in the party, who's not very well liked in the community sometimes, because I'm willing to say things that a lot of people are thinking but don't say, because they have businesses, they have careers, and they can't. And fortunately, I'm in a position where I can do that.
Well, the interesting thing is that they can.
Yeah.
It's that they're scared to.
They're terrified.
It's interesting. I'm in the same position too.
Right.
A lot of people, they're like, man, that guy's, you know, I go into a room and we start talking and we really get into conversations, things that I know about, things that I research, I talk about with my guests and different things like that.
Right.
But they're always like, whoa, we just wanted to talk about sports.
Right.
I don't know anything about sports. I couldn't tell you, you know, I don't watch
really?
It.
Really? I don't either. I've never have. And
It's so fascinating to me, because here's the honest truth is that a lot of these individuals, they'll have the conversation with me one-on-one,
mm-hmm.
but when it comes to a group or it comes to anything public, it's like, oh, I can't touch that.
They
shut
down.
A man is a woman. A man is a woman, and that's just what it is.
Right.
I was at this technology conference in Phoenix over the week, and it was a bunch of CISO people, cybersecurity guys from Homeland, FBI, all this garbage, right? But
how exciting.
It was so exciting. Yeah. But it was interesting to hear and listen to their keynote speeches and all their speeches, because they were rolling in the equality, equity, infrastructure, verbiage, and language in their process, stating how great it was. They had an all-women's panel, and you know, they were just, most of them were pretty nice, but a couple of them were these bull dyke pit bull, you know, women that just, they just, you can just tell they just hate men and they're angry.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get it. That's where the equality bubble is.
Right.
But it's, why don't we just recognize things that that's who they are? Let's just let them be that. We don't have to obfuscate or worship the ground that they live on because, you know, of these things. It's, if you're a good person, be a good person. If you're a piece of crap, you know, you get what you get what you pay for. So
the pyramid of victimhood, where are you on the pyramid of victimhood? And because if you're a heterosexual white male, you're at the bottom. But, if you're a Muslim lesbian who is binary or whatever they use, and you know, you're talking to someone who's near 60. I grew up in at a time when, well, you know, a lot of my friends look like transvestites because we were into long hair rock bands. You know what I mean? But we had people who were gay, we had people who were trans, and we didn't have the labels. And that's what I want to tell the kids today: is you don't really need these labels to get along with people. And it's very frustrating when I watch this, and I think it's a way to divide. And
well, it
I think
is.
They're being played.
But also think about this. I mean, when you're younger, you just kind of want to fit in.
Yeah.
Why would you want the label?
Why would you want a label?
Because now, but what's happening culturally, and I think there's a huge rejection. There's a giant wave coming in against that. These people are reclusing drastically. They overstep. Now you got angry moms, angry dads, parents, grandparents. People are done.
Right.
And you know, we're not seeing it as much because people are so tied in with their phones, which are designed to isolate us from reality.
Yes.
Which is why you can meet people and see, you know, a distorted perspective of these people who think that this exists, or the Trump derangement syndrome concept of everything. It's really interesting and it's exciting. I think this is probably one of the most exciting times in history that's going to go down in the history books, is how we were able to reassert.
Chinese proverb, may you live in exciting times. That was actually a curse. People think that's, you know, it's...
best of times, the worst of times.
Best of times, the worst of times. Make up your damn mind. but it always has been. It always has been. And no matter what time we were, people were alive, it's, you know, if you were the World War I generation, the World War II generation, you thought the world was coming to an end, you know?
Right.
And so, and you see it now, and I'm not religious, but I got a lot of very religious friends, and they're worried about the apocalypse. They're worried about the rapture. And in fact, they come and they'll pray for me because, you know, they think that the world is going to cease. They're all going to disappear. And then you've got the other extreme who are very non-religious, very anti-religious, and they think the world's going to end too because we're all headed for war. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of weird how they all kind of agree on the same thing, but for different reasons.
It is interesting. The whole thing with religion, one, I'm a true believer. I absolutely think that God absolutely exists. I've seen him work in my life. I've seen him work with people around me. There has been, things that are beyond a coincidence happen in my experience, as well as I've met the darker side of the world.
Right.
And that's kind of what has led me to this and this journey. And I've rejected. I was in the music industry for a long time, and I saw some things that, you know, that you just, you know, you can tell. And
I know.
You've seen it all. And so... it's great to be able to be in a position now, because 15 years ago when all this was happening, nobody wanted to talk about these things as much.
Right.
Now the world is awakened to these quote unquote conspiracy theories that are no longer conspiracies.
Conspiracy and, correctness. Yeah.
Right. Yes. Conspiracy facts.
Conspiracy facts.
Yeah. So, hey guys, we got Rob Taylor on the hook here. You're listening to Joshua Michael, Noncompliant America. And we are here live in North Bend. We'll be on the other side.
It's time to unmask the truth and expose the lies. The occupied forces do not want you to hear this broadcast. Breaking through the censorship and delivering raw, unedited content, it's Joshua Michael.
Welcome back, folks. Joshua Michael, Noncompliant America. Make sure to like and subscribe. Follow me at X at Noncompliant US or go to noncompliantamerica.com. We're doing great work here. We are here in North Bend for this National Committee Man, National Committee Woman election. We got the one and only Rob Taylor in the house. Rob, I want to get into just a little bit. We didn't really get into it too much about your interview with David Brock Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I know we can't talk about too much.
Right.
What can we talk about?
Actually, we could talk about it now. They're in voting. They're not going to hear this.
Okay,
until
perfect.
Later tonight. We can talk all you want.
All right. So lay it out. Let's go through the timeline.
Okay.
With what happened. I listened to that interview. It was phenomenal. You had him dead to rights.
Right.
In who he is, who he works for, where he gets his money. And this is part of the issue, and this is the great work that Rob Taylor does, why his show is so important, and where can people go to find you again?
Rob Taylor Report on Rumble or YouTube.
Rob Taylor Report at Rumble or YouTube. I'll put it on my link in my podcast if you want to do it. So you had David Brock Smith on. He called in. You guys are having a conversation. You're talking about all these things going on with windmills?
Yeah. Well, let me give you a backup point. We've been fighting this windmill project. And by the way, I'm related to David Brock Smith, believe it or not. He's this is Coos County. Everyone's kind of related. I've known him for a long time, and, it's through a marriage of my son, and, I've known him going back to when he was a bartender in Port Orford. We kind of call him the AOC of Coos County. And so he was a bartender in Port Orford, and his parents were grooming him for politics. He became a city councilman. He became a county commissioner. I worked with him with the county commissioner passing the Second Amendment Sanctuary Ordinance. So I knew this man. I supported this man. I wrote letters for him. I had a sign in my yard. I thought he was a good conservative. I was wrong. And that's what happens with politics. They pretend to be one thing. They go off to Salem and they become something else. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he turned into something else or if that's what he really was and was hiding it from us. But they had these windmills that the project, Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, was going to do off the coast of Coos Bay. And we're talking this huge array of windmills that they were going to put out there. And they had these call areas. And the call areas were going to be leased out. And David was joining us on a meeting a month before this interview happened. And he was talking about this windmill bill that he had that was going to stall the project. And I had read the bill. The bill didn't stall the project. In fact, the bill facilitated the project and facilitated them getting the permits, BOEM getting the permits they'll need to do these call areas.
Okay, so wait. The bill was presented. Was it presented to just you or is it presented to the public?
To the whole group, to the public. He came out here saying it was going to stall this project.
Okay, so it was going to stall the project.
Right.
Kind of like the border bill.
Right.
Right. Okay, keep going.
And so we knew he was lying. And so I knew that the first thing when someone lies is let's go check out the money. And guess what? He's taking money from a California San Francisco Democrat billionaire. He's a billionaire who made most of his money, guess where? China.
Wow.
And so David is on the Oregon China Council here in Oregon. And we thought that was just a little suspicious. So I'm friends with David. I call him up. I got his cell phone number and mm-hmm. I give him a call. And I started talking to David and I started questioning him about the bill. And he denied it even then. Said, oh, no, Rob, you just don't understand the bill. Because, you know, we laymen are just too damn ignorant.
Sure.
And so I started asking him questions about his donor. And he says, there's nothing there, Rob. And I said, well, we're going to do a story on it. And he goes, well, I know how you are. I know you're going to go on there and you're going to give this perception that I'm some type of crooked person and that I'm never going to go on your show. But he said it in a very angry way. He told me to go F myself and he hung up on me. And so a week later, a couple of days before the show went on that I was going to present this evidence, I had texted David. I said, David, I'll give you time. I'll give you an hour. I'll give you 2 hours if you want to come on. And he didn't respond to me. So I have I had a 3 hour show. And when I did the last hour and we were going to do the report on David, he calls in 5 minutes before we go on.
Panicked.
He's yelling at my producer. He's mad at my producer. And my producer goes, it's David Brocksmith. He sounds a little upset. And I get on the phone and me and him get into it on the phone right before we go on air. And so I said, David, you can come on at the bottom of the hour after we do this. Now, this is a live show. I have two guests on me who are presenting the different parts of the evidence. One, the contributor, the other, the legislation. And so I had to kind of reschedule things and bounce people on different areas because, you know, live shows, you've got something planned. David now has interrupted and I want to give him his fair chance.
Right.
And to give him his fair chance, I had him on at the bottom of the hour after giving some of this evidence. And I asked him, so tell me, why are you saying that HB 3375, the windmill bill, is going to stall this process? And he just kept talking and talking and never answered the question. And I would have to stop him. And anyone who knows David Brocksmith, he filibusters.
Right.
And he will not answer the question. And so my producer, you're in radio, he potted him down, meaning he turned down his mic so we could talk over him, get him to get back to what we wanted him to discuss. And eventually I called him a liar. And he says, are you calling me a liar? And I said, well, because you're lying, Dave. And that's where the show went. I was yelling at each other and he was insulting to my guest. And he had called the owner of the station and he had gotten his Democrat billionaire contributor to donate to or to call the station as well and threatened to sue. And so Mike Wilson, the owner of Bicoastal Media, I don't know if I can mention that. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't. Wow. I don't know. I just did. And so we have a meeting and he tells me this guy's threatening to sue me. And a senator called me and he emailed me and there was a couple of other representatives on the email. And I listened to the interview and it was very unprofessional. And I said, why was it unprofessional? He says, well, do you think it was a good idea to call a sitting senator a liar? And I go, well, Mike, he was lying to me. And so Mike goes, well, I'm going to think about it for 24 hours and I'm going to let you know because if I don't, I'm going to think about it, I may cancel your contract. I've been a supervisor. You know what that means is that they're going to give me 24 hours to stew on it and then they're going to cancel my contract. So I already knew before I even got on the elevator, my contract was canceled.
Wow.
And that's where it went.
That is an interesting story. We're going to get more on the other side. We got Rob Taylor in the house. We're in North Bend. And we'll be right back.
From the formal state of Oregon in FEMA Region 10, it's your host, Joshua Michael.
All right, welcome back, folks. Third segment. We were just getting in with Rob Taylor talking about his contract being terminated. How long were you in the radio for?
5 years with my own show, and before that 5 years, I was on for 3 years as a co-host.
Okay, so about 8 years.
8 years.
8 years on the radio, terminated because of David Brocksmith's donor. That's fascinating. But, I mean, that's corruption. We see it all the time.
Yeah, that's corruption.
Very seldom do we ever actually see it firsthand and watch everything unfold. It's really interesting. It's almost like a Tucker Carlson moment.
It was a total Tucker Carlson moment because it wasn't that far after Tucker Carlson got canceled.
Right.
And I'm one of those who, I'm a comeback kid.
Right.
I've had a lot of setbacks in my life. And after he had got me canceled, I had a lot of very important people contact me. And they said they're tired of the way the Republican Party is running. They were tired of people like David Brocksmith. And we wanted to do something about it. And so we discussed it. And I had an idea because I'm an activist. I was never a radio show person. I came to it through my activism, and I was always an activist. I pushed the Second Amendment Sanctuary Ordinance. I've changed laws. I've changed policies through initiatives and referendums. I've been very active. I've got a long history. I got street cred, as the kids would say. And so I was contacted by people who said, well, let's do something about it. So we decided we were going to create a super PAC, but it was limiting. So we're creating a 501c4 called Vet PAC. And what we're going to do is we're going to work parallel to the Republican Party, which has failed grassroots. And by the way, I hate to blow my own horn. I just won Grassroots Activists of the Year at the Western Liberty Network. Anyone doesn't think I got cred, I got cred.
You got cred.
So, yes. And so,
cred.
And so I'm the champion of the grassroots and I take on establishment. That's what I do. And that's why a lot of the party don't like me, especially people like the David Brock Smiths and stuff. And so we want to get candidates who have been left out of the party apparatus because they don't have the money, they don't have the connections to run for office, but they would be the best people to put into office because they don't want to be career politicians. They Right. want to go up there and they want to fight against the leftist agenda that's coming and being pushed down our throat. And we're ignoring those people. Well, Vet PAC it's not just about first responders, even though we want to focus on first responders, those firefighters who didn't get to go back to their job because they didn't get a COVID shot, the police officers who got stabbed in the back by city councils who didn't have their back during the riots and stuff here in Oregon. There are a lot of them out there who want to be able to move forward, and Vet PAC is a way that we're going to try to promote these people and give them the ability to fight for their positions that they're running for, their campaigns. And that's where the Republican Party has failed. And I've seen a lot of good candidates that would have been wonderful candidates, but they're not because they just didn't have that apparatus.
Right.
And that's what's missing.
And that's what we're up against. There's a machine that's operating in the Republican Party, and it's stomping out these good people. And we've seen that. And, you know, getting back to, you know, the Solomon debate, you know, some people would say Solomon's a great guy. Other people would be like, man, he's kind of the root of all evil. He's the George Soros of the Republican Party for the state of Oregon. However you want to do it. But what's interesting is once you start peeling back the onions, in which you have done,
yes,
which is more importantly why I want to get you on the show, is talking about some of the things that he's played a part in. And I've seen it firsthand. So I've talked to 2 weeks ago, I was talking to this gentleman. I won't say his name, but he was approached by one of Solomon's outerlings, and they were going to give him the resources and the infrastructure, and they were basically trying to sheep dip him mm-hmm. into their infrastructure apparatus, give right. them the support to successfully run a campaign. A lot of these people, the people that we actually need running stuff, and again, I say it all the time, you don't have to have all the answers. You don't need to know all the ins and outs of what your position does. You don't have to know all of that stuff. Your heart just has to be in the right place, and you need to have a channel of communication with the people of this state.
Yes.
Because that's ultimately who you're managing and who you're governing. If you keep that apparatus open and keep good people around you that kind of keep you away from the swamp per se, and then stop getting into these glad-handing backroom smoky deals, which tend to happen, then we can have a chance. And I'm seeing an insurgence happens like this all over.
Yeah.
All over. It's happening everywhere. They can't stop it. And so kind of reading the room last night and everything else, there's a huge wave of, you know, Don Powers is not a politician at all. And, you know, he's just trying to do good for the country. He's trying to preserve the state and the sanctuary of voter integrity, I think, right. is a huge push with him. But there's just a huge shift happening with that. But so get into what we're doing here, what you think's going to happen, what your predictions are. Obviously, by the time this airs, we're going to know the results. But,
right.
You know, where are we at as far as the party and the state of the party with your dreams as an activist,
right?
You know, in a perfect world, how close are we getting to kind of that end point where...
I don't believe in perfect worlds, but I believe in better worlds. And I believe that, you know, I was a non-affiliated voter up until a month ago. And I came back to the party. I left the party in 2012 because of Solomon U. And now I'm back because of Solomon Yu.
Yeah.
And it's not because he's an evil man. He's just a man who has different opinions about things than I do. And he has different directions he wants to take this party, and we are going to take it back. And I think Don Powers is the strongest one to do that. And here's why. He's always been there.
Yeah.
He's, you know, I've been an activist and I know who the real activists are. And I'll tell you what, if you stood in a line where you're facing off against Antifa, you got tear gas in the air, and you got the state police on one side ready to march down on you, and you look next to you and there's Don Powers ready to take the heat. That says something about that.
100%.
And I'm, you know, he had our back. I'm going to have his back. And that's why I'm here. And you could smell it in the room last night.
Yeah,
we're heading towards victory. I know a movement when it's happening. I've been in plenty. And this is going to happen. I believe he's going to win this. I think he's going to be very successful at this. And people who don't even like me will come up to me, Rob, I don't like you, but I am voting for Don Powers because I think he's the best choice. He's the strongest candidate.
He is.
And I really don't know if he's the best candidate because I saw the other two and they're not bad people. They're, once again, we just have different opinions. And they're actually pretty good on some of the issues. I just think Don is much stronger. I think that he, because he's had other people's back, that's why you could see in this room last night, people were backing him.
Yeah.
You know, they were all in on Don Powers.
And not hiding behind anything.
No.
They were nothing. All about it.
Right.
And that's really the strength. So we had a lot of conversations. I had some great conversations with people last night about that. And one of the things that was kind of a reoccurring instance of topic was when we're countering, I wouldn't call them the Democrats. I would just call them the anti-human destructionists, you know,
the devil,
the communists, yeah. Whatever you want to call them. It's a lot easier. I was like, hey, so this event, right? How long did it take you to set all this stuff? The tablecloths, the table, the food prep, all this stuff took you all day, right?
Oh, we've been planning this for a month.
Okay. Case in point.
Yes.
Tomorrow, we're going to be able to strike everything, tear everything down, and we're going to go home.
Yeah.
So it took a month of preparation to build, and it's only taken a day, half a day, maybe 2 hours.
Right.
To tear everything down and everything else. When we're fighting against these people and battling for the hearts and minds of the future, it's a lot easier for them to destroy what we've built over the past 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years. It's a lot easier for them to destroy it. They can come from all sides and everything else. That's why we're seeing a hardened position. And it's basically the Tea Party, MAGA movement, grassroots, Republicans, conservatives.
America first
people, whatever you want to call them. That's why you're seeing a quote unquote hardened stance with them, because people are starting to understand you can't negotiate. There is no negotiation.
No.
There's no reaching across the aisle. There's nothing. We have to stand tall and firm with no leaks, cracks, nothing.
No, you can't give in. There's no compromise.
We have to do that with our kids. We have to do that with our lives. We have to do that with our finances, what we spend money on. We can't just sometimes do this and sometimes do that. We're seeing people start to realize that. And I think that's a huge push. And that's a great thing. I think Don represents
and
having that hard stance. And that's going to trickle down into all the counties and everything else.
Oh, yeah. It's going to, because we're trying to change the counties. That's happening too. There is a movement across the counties to get rid of the establishment apparatus that has filtered out to the counties. And we're going to help remove that. And you were talking about being religious. I'm an atheist. And yet I'm the most respectful to Christians because I hate bullies, and Christians are getting bullied, and it's not right. And it's, I'm, you know, people go, are you a Republican? No, I'm an individualist. I believe in the individual. And if you're a Christian, then you believe that God created everyone in his image, and every individual is going to be judged on their own merits. And that's what I do.
Yeah.
And I'm a big Jesus freak. I you know, and in fact, I believe in Jesus. It's his father I have the doubt in. And so I believe there's a philosophy there of Judeo-Christian values that we have to protect because it's Western culture.
100%. We got to protect the innocents. Rob Taylor, last segment coming up. Joshua Michael, Non-Compliant America. Thanks for tuning in. Be right back. Yeah, I know it's rude to be bragging. They never catching a slack. Me and my buddy, we working hard for this money. That was
how do you get away with playing those songs?
What do you mean?
Don't you have to pay royalties for those?
This is me a long time ago.
My son's a rapper.
I used to be a rapper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm it's not my genre of music.
What's his rapper name?
Well, his real name. I called him Havoc.
Oh, that's cool. Of course you did. Of course you called him Havoc.
That's my son. I named him. They go, why do you call him Havoc? Oh, that's a long story.
Yeah. My nickname used to be Einstein.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because of the hair or because of the brains?
I don't know. I always found myself in these weird conversations where I'm like going on to these analytical things and then I'm looking around and nobody understands what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So back here, Rob Taylor, last segment, we were talking about kind of the state of the Republican Party and the insurgence that's happening. And it's a revolution, the fourth turning,
yes,
whatever you want to call it. We're definitely in it now, and it's great to see. And the kind of the main message of this show and future shows and everything else is Oregon does not have to be blue.
No.
Not at all. And in fact, I don't think it is blue. I think
there
are people that have a stronghold, but we need to build up our army and build up our warriors and build up our team because we can go in, create the stronghold, and just penetrate and put so much pressure on these small communities such as Eugene, Multnomah. Everybody cries about those two things running the state. If there's enough of us, I just don't see them getting away with anything. The same way we were able to overturn the COVID measures, the same way we've been able to put pressure, you know, on different legislators and different things. And if you're listening now, I it's best to go down and really get involved. And even if you don't know what you're doing, just go down and talk to these people.
Yeah.
Go down to their office and see what they're about. But again, if we don't give them the compliance that they want, which is why the show is called Non-Compliant America, is they're not going to be able to enforce anything that they push.
Right.
We just won't go along with it.
Not going to do it.
Right. So getting into that, you know, I see high hopes. I see the same thing. I do see that happening. What can people do to get involved more in their counties? And what do you kind of suggest going into this election cycle for people to have maximum effect?
Well, first off, you got to go to the city council meetings. You got to go to the commissioners meetings because I hear people come up to me and talk about those things. And you ask them, well, when's the last time you've been to a city council meeting? Well, I haven't been to any meetings. Then how do you know what the heck you're talking about? You don't. You're sitting there and you're talking about things you have no clue about. And I'm a regular attendee at those meetings. I speak at those meetings and I highly recommend people do that. But if you want to change the party, even with the Democrats, you have to become a precinct captain. You have
PCP.
To PCP. And that's not the angel dust that we used to do in the 80s. No, this is a PCP, a precinct captain person. And you get a vote on the committee and you get to elect the leaders who are in charge of the party. And right now, that's what the establishment has done is they haven't gone out and gotten PCPs because they want the PCPs that are going to vote for their agenda. And that's where they're closing off in certain counties. They're doing that here in Coos County. There's a chair that has like 20 people who show up and they're all what I call geriatrics. You know what I mean? They're 75, 80 years old. And I'm like, 58% of the people in this county voted for Donald Trump. And I guarantee you a lot of those people are under 30. Where are those people? You know, and that's what I tell the youth. You have an incredible amount of power. you're just not empowering yourself.
Right.
And you got to do it. I've never had anyone come up to me and say, Rob, this is what we got to do. This is how we got to do it. No, I've done it myself. I go to the meetings, I see the problem, and then I work on it. Like I said, either through an initiative process, or if they pass bad laws, I put them up for referendums. And, you know, we've stopped a lot of bad policy. And that's the thing. It's not about getting people elected. It's about changing policy.
Yeah.
If I can change policy with a board of all Democrats, then that's a win. I don't care what, if you have a D or an R. And in fact, the non-affiliated voters, and there's been these buttons going around the convention here, about don't be a NAV. Well, there's a reason that people are non-affiliated voters. They feel disconnected to the party, and part of it is because of their fault. Part of it is because of the party apparatus. So if you want to change something, you got to get in there and do it. And becoming a precinct captain is one of the best ways of doing it. Hold office, become a chair, become a vice chair. And then when we find candidates or candidates come forward, you can support them. You can do this. And the candidates are the ones who then hopefully can go on and change the policy, because that's what it's really about, changing the policy.
Yep. And we really need rock stars out there. And I know that
yes.
There's so many times I'm talking to these business owners that they're successful, they're outspoken, they're great people. You know, they got good families, good morals, everything else, but they're scared to get involved because of the, you know, social media bullying and the intimidation and the just all the nonsense that kind of goes around. And that's kind of a
getting your radio show canceled might be people look what that's why David Brocksmith did what he did.
Yeah.
He wanted to show people, you go against me, I can crush you.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he didn't crush me. He in fact made me more powerful than ever before.
Yeah.
And it's going to be to his ill will. And that's what I keep telling business owners. If they could be able to take your business away, you can find something else. And
people
I know
want
that's
fighters.
Scary.
Yeah. They want fighters.
Yeah.
They want that. So that is the definition of the Republican Party now, are people that don't hinder, they don't come off of the rock that they're on. And that's what we want. So many times we've given all these people, you know, the recall, all this stuff, we've given them all this, everything that they needed to be successful. And at the very end, they buckle.
Yeah.
And what's the mitigating factor? What's the underlying factor that's causing that to happen?
Fear.
Well, whatever it may be, we don't need people like that.
No.
But we also need to support people like that. So wrapping things up, we got just a few more minutes. What's your message to my listeners? And what else would you want to talk about?
Never give up. Never give up, never surrender. This state, it may fail. We may go under complete tyranny. The country may go under complete tyranny. And if we have to take up arms, we have to take up arms. And I hope you don't get a call from the FBI after saying that, but never surrender. You never can give up. You never back down. And like you said, as long as people stick to that credo, of never backing down, of never surrendering, then we have a fighting chance. And, you know, especially if you're Christians out there, you know that God's on your side, well, then use it. Those of us who are not Christians, we do know that there's a morality. We have a conscience. You have to listen to that conscience. And it's a conscience that's shared by all humans. And if we don't listen to that, we're going to fail.
Yeah. And it's just really each individual believing themselves.
Believe in yourself.
And having the confidence. And it's better to die on your feet than live on your knees,
no,
right?
Totally.
So you think, what do you think the plans are for the 2024 election?
The 2024 election is going to be very interesting. Once we get out of the primary, and the primary is the worst and the hardest battle for parties because you beat the hell out of each other.
Yeah.
And it's sad. I've had to beat up a lot of Republicans that I really respect, and it's not fun. But once we get out of that, there's always a fighting chance. Whether we'll be able to pull together strong enough to do it is always the question. And we're going to need those non-affiliated voters, and that's where the party's going to have to reach out.
Nationally, do you think you think Biden's going to make it to the end?
I don't know. They're still cheating. They're still cheating out there. So,
what do you think they're going to pull before that?
I think Biden's going to make it to the end.
Okay.
They got enough cocaine and speed to keep pumping into the old man. And Donald Trump ain't going to quit.
No.
No.
No, America.
No.
All right, Rob. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
great
man.
Show today.
Appreciate it.
Yep, and we'll see you on the other side, okay?
All right.
Thanks, guys, for joining in. Make sure to check me out at NoncompliantUS on X or NoncompliantAmerica.com. You're listening to 104.3 FM, 1220 AM on KSLM. Have a good week.